Good to be among the company of God's people. I can't quite think of any place better than this place, so I don't have a hankering to go anywhere else. Thank the Lord. I'm glad the Lord ministers to us in so many various ways. I'd like to just give a little brief testimony. Sometimes we get a little discouraged in life. Sometimes life presents itself in a kind of a overwhelming pattern, and that's not just unique to me by any stretch of the imagination. We all get those places, I would think. Last night I came to service kind of in that condition, little whipped down, and maybe it was the first song we sang or something like that. Brother James Bell got up. His exhortation and his testimony, I tell you, I probably should have. I just felt like going over and hugging him real tight. You know, it's wonderful how the Lord ministers to his children. For whatever reason, we get discouraged sometimes, or for whatever reason, sometimes we get down in the mully grubs and get a little pity party going on sometimes. Whatever reasons occur, that's not the point. The point is that we do get those places sometimes. So I want to just testify that the saints of God minister to me. Brother James did last night, which you all do. And I thank the Lord that there are people who do hear the voice of the Lord and do respond at the appropriate time. Timing was perfect last night. I'd like to say that. I'd like for you and me tonight to think about my Lord and your Lord and what he's done for us as people, as a humankind. The thought that came to my mind as I was meditating some, thinking about service, is the little thought about the magnitude of the cross. The magnitude of the cross. Driving down the road the other day, and I don't know exactly what prompted my thinking along this line, but I got a little thought that came to me about me and you as Christians, or you and me as people. And how we have been, from our childhood, I would think, subjected to the teachings of the cross. I don't suppose there's many here that hadn't been that way. I was raised in Baptist church, but I was faithfully told about the cross. I went to Sunday school, and I heard about the cross. Heard the preacher preach on the cross. So the cross is something that you and I have been familiar with, I suppose, all of our life. And as I was driving down the road, the thought came to me, but do we really understand the impact? Do we really understand the magnitude of it? Quite frankly, I won't stand before you tonight and tell you that I've comprehended it all. But a real soberness, if you will, came over my thinking and my thoughts as I recognized some of what exactly happened on that day. And how the fullness of God was being poured out upon man. The very restitution, the redemption of mankind was being paid for. How that, in my mind, I saw the very attention of heaven focused down on that cross and on my Savior. The angels, I saw them in some form intently watching all the proceedings. And in my imagination, perhaps, I saw them poised and ready as a great army to just sweep down. That's my thought. The Lord did say he could have called. I see the Lord God of heaven looking down in his intensity at the fulfillment of all the prophecies. And I see him looking at the response of the people around. But I believe it was a day, if we may think of it as that way, a day when the very power of the Godhead and all that you and me can consider that to entertain. I know I can't get it all. But all the authority and the power of the Godhead looking down upon that day on a hill, as the song says, far away, at that old rugged cross, whatever shape it was, and that figure that was being nailed there and humiliated there and stripped there, forsaken there, That pitiful figure that was bleeding and hurting and dying. That figure that had no comeliness and people were wagging their heads at him. That figure that was stripped of all dignity, stripped of all muscle tone, stripped of everything that you and I do when we stand before people. We stand usually upright. We kind of keep our posture about us, stripped of all of that, humiliated and shamed. I see that there was an impact there that God helped me and you to be able to more fully comprehend the magnitude of that day in my life and in your life today. And what it has offered to you and me, and specifically mine and your responsibility to that which took place by our Lord and our Savior at the very instructions of the Holy Father, this ordained and divine plan that was sent down from God, that this Lamb, Jesus Christ, would suffer and die and go through all the indignities and the reproach of a sinful, cursed sinner, that you and I might have redemption through His blood. God help us tonight that we would come more fully to grips with what responsibility. We think of the opportunity many times, and I have no qualm with that. I certainly agree with that in the sense that a door was opened to us, a opportunity has been given to us, a door of salvation, a window or a door by which we can enter into a relationship with God and be forgiven. But I want us to think tonight about what all, or no, I better take that back, not what all, but some of what that cross meant to you and me and the importance that God placed upon the event that took place that day on that hill in Palestine a long, long time ago, but how the very reverberations of it are still going, the vibrations of it are still reverberating right through time today, and they will reverberate through an ageless eternity, and they will hold you and me responsible for the events and how I have responded and how I have subjected myself to that Lamb that was slain and yea is risen again and reigns with power and glory and honor at the very right hand of the Father. God help me to recognize the cross and the power of the cross and the event that took place on that day and look to see in your life and my life, am I responding in a responsible, as we heard last night, in a sound way, in a sober way, in a way that brings respect and honor to that Lamb, respect and honor to that Savior, respect and honor to my God and to your God, and that we have humbled ourselves and recognized, Lord, I need you more than anything else in this life. And without you, I'll perish. I'll serve you, Lord, because I love you and I have respect to what has been done for me. God help us tonight as we look into His Word, that by His grace, by His Spirit, that the door will be opened a little wider into what God has done for you and me. Read with me in Hebrews, the second chapter, for a little bit. The first three verses, scriptures we know so well. Therefore, you and me, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, as I said a while ago, we've heard the story. Brother Stanley's not telling you something you hadn't already heard. But it seems like the Bible is full of warnings. Jesus said, watch and pray. The Bible is full of cautions and warning. John said in 2 John, I believe, look to yourself that you lose not those things that have been wrought in you and we have wrought in you. I believe it's just trembling and fear when it talks about our salvation. God wants you and me to recognize, oh God, help us that have been here many times. And when I say here, I mean in the presence of the Lord. And you that have been raised in this truth, that we recognize the importance of a daily walk and a daily adherence to what God has done for us. And that at no time we should let slip those things that have been wrought in the for mankind through the very life of Jesus Christ. There is a tendency within every one of us when we get a grip on something to start let go. Start to let go. There's something about us that we'll hold that grip and we'll hold that grip, but after a while our bodies, our fingers, our tendons, our very muscles will start to get tired and we'll start relaxing that grip ever so slightly. And over a period of time, we'll eventually turn loose. We need daily strengthening of the Holy Spirit in our life, of the very importance of salvation in our life, lest at any time we will start to lose our grip on what God. We are not able in ourselves to hold on to so great a salvation. You and I are not able to understand fully all that God has done for us and what He has opened up for us and what He affords us and our responsibility to that. It's too great for us. We've already heard about this great salvation in this meeting. We must understand, we must have a close association with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost if we are going to maintain our grip, if we're going to maintain our hold, if we're going to maintain our integrity, if we're going to maintain our relationship with Christ. We must be dependent creatures upon Him to help us and to hold us up, to strengthen this old feeble hand. I told the saints back home the other night, I was going through some battles, and I said, I need you to pray for my feeble mind, because that's where the battle was taking place. It wasn't in my body. It wasn't in my soul. It was in the fact that the devil was trying to attack my mind. And I said, Lord, help me to lift up my old feeble mind to you. And I asked the saints to pray for me, because we get weak, saints. We get into battles, and pressures come, and trials do come. Situations do happen. We do have life on our hands. Lord, help us to recognize without a close, I want to say again, close relationship with Christ, we will begin to let the thing slip, not because we necessarily want to, but because we're human, and because without Him we're weak, and without Him we can't hold on, and without Him we'll surely fall, I believe one song said. Oh, thank God, if we'll be so close to Him, that song said, somebody heard me. We'll learn to pray, if we'll learn to confess our needs, if we'll learn to pour out our hearts to Him, oh, the power of the cross can reign in our lives tonight. Lord, help it to be so with every one of us. Lest at any time we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Sometimes we let things slip out of familiarity. Sometimes we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it. And Daddy, you always say, be careful. Can't you not say that one time when I leave to go to get a pop or go driving somewhere? No, son, I cannot not say that. I have to say that. Something terrible would happen to me, in a sense, if I don't say that. I have to tell you, be careful. Be careful. Mamas and daddies, you know what I'm talking about. You said it hundreds of times. And when that child walks out the door, be careful. Watch out. I've had my sons tell me, you say that every time. Or Aline would say that, and I'd say, yes, and we're going to say it every time you leave, too. There's something about familiarity. If we're not careful, we'll let things slip. You know, you get so familiar with driving a car, you forget sometimes to be careful. You get so familiar working around a piece of machinery sometimes, you get your fingers cut. You get so familiar around things that you just slip up. You don't watch. You're not as careful. Why? Because I've done this and done this and done this. We need to be real careful tonight, saints, that we not lose our identity as the Church of God. The Bible said, come out of her, my people, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. That truth is still there tonight. If we're not careful, we'll slip and start to touch the unclean thing. If we're not careful, we'll start losing our grip, and Satan will present the unclean thing as not so bad after all, and we will reach out and we'll grasp and take into our bosom the very poison that Jesus Christ so wonderfully died to save us from, that the cross would become of none effect because we became familiar with the teachings of the saints and we didn't apply ourselves to righteousness and godliness and holiness, and they begin to slip out of our lives because we've heard it time and time again. May God's word be new every day to us. May God's word be fresh and alive every day to us. May we not leave our house till we have that blessed assurance of my Lord hears me and knows me, that this salvation not slip. God help us tonight not to become so familiar with Christ that we let Him slip away. And that can happen. And the things that we once taught against, we begin to build again. Paul said, if I do that, I make myself a transgressor. We can name off things of modesty in this old entertainment world. They're out there to try to creep into us. The fads, the fashions, the philosophies, all the vain philosophies, the vain things of this world that want to usurp authority over my Lord and your Lord, to tell you and me it's okay to live this way, it's okay to do these things, it's okay to do these things, or those things, it's okay to go ahead and live a little bit like the world. You know, sectism's not really so bad after all. On and on. Oh, well, it's okay to go down here to this sect or this sect. You know, there's good people down there, and they don't have such bad ideas after all. May God help us. He said, come out of her, my people, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean things. I want to say to us concerning this thing called sectism, don't ever lose your vision of the death that's there. Don't ever lose your vision of the church of God. May God help us to see that he died on that cross, and the impact was that of that cross, part of it was to bring you and me into a holy relationship with him, and that we were separate from sinners as he was and is, and that you and I touch not the unclean things of those old cages of Babylon down there, that we come out and be separate. I had a thought here a while back. It's by far nothing new. But you trace back sectism, and I'll tell you where it'll take you right back to. It'll take you back to an old red dragon. It'll take you back to that one that was waiting to devour those children that were born. It has death in it. It has destruction in it. It has deception in it. It has a lulling to sleep in it. It has the world in it. It has pollution in it. And it will corrupt your soul, and the impact of the cross will slip out of your hand, and your salvation won't be sweet and pure and holy and refreshed anymore. But those things that we once destroyed, we'll begin to build again. God help us to recognize the error of sectism. And God has called us out of that. He wants us to have no part of the beast or the image of the beast, that old red dragon which was the mother of them all. God help us tonight that the impact of the cross not become something that we just have heard and heard. But oh God, help us to be stirred up. We've already heard about that. Stir up your pure mind. Awake unto righteousness and sin not. Oh, he said, for if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of a reward, if the things that God has always spoken have come true, if all the judgments of the Lord that he has pronounced upon sin and backsliding and the gold wedge and the Babylonian garment, if the very sins that God has pronounced judgment on, and that judgment has come true, and men have had to suffer the wrath of God because of that, how do we think that we're going to escape? Can we put ourselves above that? Can we put ourselves above the things that God has already judged? I don't think so. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, may God help us this night to understand Christ came to do something special for us. Not to you and me only, but for those who would believe. He said he would give us the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed upon his name. To believe means to enter into a relationship. To believe means to have him in your heart. To believe means that he is your leader, your captain. He is the author and finisher of your salvation. And you pray to him, and you talk to him, and you visit with him, and you love him, and you honor him, and you obey him, and you dress yourself with him, and you clothe yourself from on high with him, and you let him be the very instrument of your life. Oh, listen, it's just not I believe. He said the devils do that. Oh, God, help us this night that we recognize there was something that happened. You know, we think about earthquakes. Many times they're talked about in magnitudes, I believe, on the Richter scale, 6.1, 5 point so-and-so and everything like that. I want to say there was an earthquake that day. And I want to say there was a shaking of the earth that day. And I want to say the heavens were darkened that day. And I want to say those that slept in the grave came forth that day. Oh, saints, that wasn't just another day. That wasn't nothing, just another criminal. That was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lamb slain, being crucified for you, expecting this earth to become his footstool, and expecting to bring many sons and daughters out of the graves of sin and into the very kingdom of the holy God, to make us joint heirs with him, and to make us different, to make us peculiar, called out for a purpose for him, royal priest of the royal household of God. Oh, this night, how are you living? How are we reigning? Are we sweetly reigning, or are we just getting by? Are we living in such a way that we barely make it from day to day? Does the little pebbles of life just want to cause us, and the little sticks in life, do they just want to cause us to fall on our face? Oh, Lord, help us to be reigning with him tonight. Is there be a burning love within us? Oh, listen. He speaks about not losing that first love. That I have someone against you because you have let slip, if you will, or you have lost that first love. We ought to be in such a relationship with the Lord that we ask Him daily, renew it, Lord. Renew it. Renew it. I'm going to tell you what I tell everybody. I've preached it in quite a few places, but if I've told you, then just bear with me, because it's good. God, help us not to forsake our prayer closet. Not to forsake that place where you and I get on our face before God, and we tell Him everything in our heart, everything that's troubling us, and we rejoice before Him. And when we have made a mistake, we don't try to put it off as that old but word we heard about the other night, but we come right straight forward and say, Lord, I need your help. The devil's on me. He's tempting me. He's trying me. You know what happens to us, saints? We leave that prayer closet out too many times. You know what we do? We substitute it. We substitute it for family worship. And you, now Brother Stanley's not saying don't have family worship. But we substitute that quality time of a one-on-one experience with God. We say, well, I prayed with the children, or I prayed with my wife, or I prayed with my husband. You just keep right on doing that. But I want to say to every one of us, find yourself alone with the Lord at least once every day, confessing, crying out, begging for mercy, Lord, asking for a greater vision, letting Him know, I'm nothing, Lord, I'm a worm, I'm less than nothing, and I need your graces. Renew in me everything you have for me. You want to backslide? You forsake that prayer closet. It's a one-way ticket. God help us tonight. How shall we escape if we neglect this thing that God did for you and me? The only name given wherefore, whereby men must be saved. There's no other name under heaven or under earth. There's no more sacrifices. You can't go back. He was telling the old Jews there, you can't go back now after you've come to Christ and go back to them old bulls and them old goats and them old doves. You can't go back. There remaineth now no more sacrifice. From this point on, it's Jesus and Jesus only. He is our salvation and He is our King. And if you young people today, if any of us here today are neglecting Him, we are neglecting our only hope, our only salvation. If we are not paying homage to Him who hung on the tree at Calvary, we cannot go back to the blood of bulls, the blood of bulls and of goats. We must honor Him and Him alone. How is your association with Him tonight? Have we started to let it slip? Has time become so important to us that we just don't have time for Jesus? May God help us tonight. So great a salvation. His salvation, the reason it was great, at least in some terms anyway, the reason it was so great is because it was from God. Anything from God, as Brother MacMillan told us the other night, is great. Anything God does for us is great. When God spanks you, folks, that's great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, this salvation is great because it's from God. And there's nothing greater. How shall I escape now? Shall I go back to the weak and the beggarly elements? Shall I go back to that pit from which I was dug? Shall I go back to those friends and those former associates that I ran with and say, now you be my salvation and you be my strength? Shall I go down to Babylon after I've tasted the sweet waters of Jesus Christ and say, now you quench my thirst? Shall I go to the society of the world with its pollution? Shall I take on the philosophies of this world and say, now you be my strength, you be my mind, and you be my guidance after I have had and tasted of that heavenly vision of Christ? God forbid that we would ever build again, saints, those things that the saints and the Word of God have destroyed, those things that we have built upon, those things that have been erected in our hearts and erected in our minds. May they be strong today. Oh, may those things of immodesty, may they always be immodest. May they always have the reproach of God upon them. May they always have the stigma, rather, of sin on them. May I say it? Should have said it that way. May we always recognize that decency and holiness and righteousness is the order of the day. Over in 1 Corinthians, I'd like for you and me to consider a little bit. 1 Corinthians 6. 6 and 9, I think. Know ye not, and this is still true today, in spite of what the world says, this is still true. The word says, let God be true, I believe, and every man a liar, or every man a liar and God be true. Anything, dear ones, that contradict the holy writ, it's a lie. And Satan is the father of it. And he is that thief and that robber who is trying to climb up some other way and establish something other than the kingdom of God in your heart. He is a thief and he is a robber. And I want to say he came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And when you and I give him ear, when we let that thief who would try to climb up some other way and establish something other than the kingdom of God in your heart, another philosophy, another idea, another religion, anything else, may I say to us, we are entertaining a very thief and a robber. We're saying, come on in and rape me and pillage me and clean me out. Take all that's holy and pure out of me and leave me that shell of nothingness and emptiness. God help us tonight. He has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. And if we give him entrance into our thought process, he'll rob you of something. If we give him entrance into our life, he will come in and steal something. He will take away our virtue and our chastity. He'll take away the image of a chaste virgin out of us. And we'll be that shell of nothing. God help us to hold fast to the truth of God's word and not be moved away from what God has given you and me to live by. These words that we're about to read are still true today, folks. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Sin is there is a common misconception in the world today that it's okay. Sin you will, sin you must, sin you can't help it. Everybody sins more or less. Well, God doesn't look on sin as bad as you folks say. There is a common misconception in the world that any lifestyle is okay as long as you name the name of the Lord with that. There's a group of people called the Unitarians. I read a little bit about them and heard about them on the radio a little bit. Folks, I have come to the conclusion you can be anything you want to be and be a Unitarian. That's how lax it's become in this world. You can do anything, live any way, profess anything, any philosophy, any God, no God, and you can be a good member in standing of the Unitarians. I guess that's maybe I mention them because I don't know of anybody much more liberal than that. And it's out there. It's out there. And they'll tell you it's okay. But the impact of the cross is still holiness unto the Lord. The impact of the cross is still take up your cross and follow me. The impact of the cross is I have to die out to self and I must be, what did Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. The impact of the cross is take up that cross and follow me. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, tonight is it true in your heart? Are you living a life of faith in him who loved you? Are you living a life of just a ritual? Are you living a life of head knowledge? A life that I know how the saints talk, dress, act. I know the right words. I know exactly what to say. I know what not to say. I know what we should do and what we shouldn't do, where we should go, where we should not go, how we should dress and how we should not dress. Therefore, I am a saint in good standing. But in my heart, there is an emptiness. There is a void. Jesus said, you've become like whited sepulchers, full of dead men's bones. God help us tonight that the impact of the cross would be alive in us. Alive in us. Nevertheless, I live. I live. But not I. Christ liveth in me. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Be not deceived. That's what's happening. Neither fornicators. And may I say something? I won't say that. I'll say it this way. The deception is not limited to the world. The deception will creep in anywhere you and I refuse light. Any place I back up on light, deception will creep in there. Any place that I refuse to adhere to the standard of God, deception will creep in. Remember we spoke a little bit the other night about the excuses we come up with? Any place I start making excuses for not measuring to the light of God's Word, and listen, folks, we can come up with some doozies. I want to tell you what will happen. Deception starts creeping in. So don't you think for a moment it's just that old sinner out there that's deceived. It can come right into your life and in your heart and my life and yours. May the Lord help us not to be deceived. Because you see, the things that we're fixing to name off here, read off rather, are things that are prevalent in the world today. And we are faced with a situation in our lives where fornication is not way out there somewhere. But it comes right around and tempts us and tempts our children. And we as parents must be faithful to them and hold a standard against it. It's still wrong. Whether it's your child, your cousin, your brother, your sister, whomever it may be, God help us to recognize fornication is still a sin, and it's a damning sin, and we will go to hell if we have not been forgiven of it. That adultery is something that is wrong. Adultery is something God has judged and something that we cannot entertain in our lives and go through life with and still expect to see God's heaven in peace. The reason I'm saying those two, the effeminacy of the world today, the alternate lifestyle of the world today, it's out there. And folks, it's not just tiptoeing around anymore. It's boldly knocking on your door and my door. The papers, the articles, the scientists, the world is full of justifications and reasons why those things occur. And they attack your faith. They attack your mind. They attack who you are. And they would come right against mine and your identity as holiness unto the Lord. It's not like these things were back there in these times of the Corinthians. They were there then. They're here today. Paul was warning the folks then. God is warning us today that those very same things, the impact of the cross delivered us from those things. The impact of the cross delivered us from the world. And we have a responsibility to live in such a way that I can show the world that I have been to Calvary, that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new now. And if we're not doing that, we're living below the standard of the cross. And the cross, to some degree, has become of none effect in our life. If we begin to build again the very things God says no to, then we start having the cross being of none effect as much in our life. Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. And we could talk for a while on each one of these. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Just suffice it now to say, they won't make it. But Satan would have us to make excuses for it. Satan would have us to side up to it and sympathize with it. God help us not to do that. The cross should mean more to us than that. And then he said, and such were some of you. And then tucked away in the scriptures it says, but ye are washed. Praise the God. Hallelujah. Amen. As old Brother Golden used to say out there, Arbogast rather used to say. Praise the Lord and hallelujah and amen. But we are washed. Well, folks, what are we washed in? Are we washed in the Jordan? Are we washed in, what's this river out here, the creek somewhere, Cimarron, Cottonwood or something? What are we washed in? Oh, God, help us. But you are washed and you are sanctified. There was some blood that day. There was some real holy blood that day. There was some divine blood. And there was some innocent blood. And there was a lamb's blood. And there was the guiltless blood. And there was blood that came down off of that old tree and came out of his side and came from his head and came from his back and came from the nail wounds. And it washed, it cleansed, it purified, it made holy unto the Lord. Oh, listen, don't you remember when Aaron and all went into the temple, they had the little Oh, I don't know what you call it. They had the hyssops and all that, and they sprinkled things with blood. They sanctified it, set it apart for the Lord. Oh, God, He's washed us in His blood. Now, on the reins of our life, holiness unto the Lord. That's the standard. That's the criteria. That's what God is coming back for. That's what He will judge us according to. He will not judge us according to Unitarians or to the Baptist or to the Methodist or the Catholic. He'll not judge us according to Buddha. He will not judge us according to the Hindu religion. He will judge us by the cross, and the words that He has spoken will stand before us in the last day. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. That's what we must measure to, folks. We cannot imbibe anything less than that. The impact of the cross is too great. It's too powerful. It's too mighty. It speaks too loud. It shakes the heavens and it shakes the earth. It raises the dead and purifies the unclean. God, help us tonight that this impact, this power, this magnitude of the cross will just reverberate within us. And when I see sin, it'll be a reproach to me that when I see people I love living in ungodly ways, I'll not cater to them. Oh, yes, we'll be nice to them. But, oh, in no way will we succumb to the treachery that they're in. God help us that we speak the truth in love and we live the truth in love, but that we recognize the things God called you to 10 years ago. He's still calling you to it today. The Lord told you to put off. He still wants you to leave it off. If God said put on, He wants you to still put it on today. If God told you something 10, 20 years ago, you do it. You still live that way. You still honor God with your faith that way. Don't let that slip out of your life. Oh, Lord, I've dressed this way, lived this way now, and I'm getting a little tired. Oh, I've turned the other cheek, and I've turned the other cheek, folks. Turn the other one. I've been reviled and I've been reviled. We'll be reviled again. Don't let those things slip out of your life. That's what the Lord's expecting you to do. Oh, they took advantage of me and they took advantage of me. And they may do it again. God help us. Holiness unto the Lord. A lifestyle that's clean. A lifestyle that's just. A lifestyle that's sound. And a lifestyle that's sober. That's what God's coming back for. And here we are. We've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it. Oh, Lord, I want to hear it again. Tell it again, the wonderful story. And such were some of you. There's power in the blood to save from sin. Power in the blood to make us whole and free and righteous. Why would we want to go back to that old pit? Why would you want to go back to immodesty? Why would you want to go back and start renting those videos? Why would you want to start having a TV in your home? Oh, you know what TVs do? They bring in the effeminate, the adulterers, the fornicators, the idolaters. They bring in the abusers of themselves and mankind. They bring in theft. They bring in covetousness. They bring in drunkenness. They bring in revilers. They bring in extortioners and set them in your living room and says, be entertained. Now, why would you want that? We're the saints in light. If you've got a TV in your house, get before the Lord and ask Him for mercy. And let Him see that we don't need to be entertained by adultery. We don't need to be entertained by homosexuality. We don't need to be entertained by nudity. We need to be blessed by the Word of God and the holiness of God in our life. Why do we teach against television, young people? It's not something that we just want to hold before you that you can't do. It is a wall of protection because we love the souls of men and God loves the souls of men. And He knows a steady diet of anything like that, not really that much of a steady diet, I might add. It introduces us to things that are wrong. It plants seeds in us and causes you and me to be enticed, and the familiarity of that thing starts to break down the very impact of the cross in our life. And the cross becomes of none effect. And we are back in that pit from which we were dug. He said, but such were some of you, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord tonight for salvation. Ninth chapter of Hebrews a moment. Excuse me. He took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, listen to what he said, this is the book, this is the blood, rather, of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Well, that was then, and that was the law, and that was the commandments, and that was the precepts, and that was the doctrine. And he said, we are sprinkling this with blood as a means of sanctifying and making it clean and pure in a ritual sense. And this is what God has enjoined unto you. Folks, they were responsible for it. And how were they to escape if they neglected that? The implied answer was there was no escape. If they violated that, if they didn't repent, if they didn't come back on their knees before God, there was no escape from violating that which they were enjoined. That which has been enjoined to us through the cross of Calvary and the sprinkling of the holy blood of Christ, of holiness unto the Lord, the law written on the tables of our heart, the very cleansing of our nature and the cleansing of our past, the very making of all things new. God has sprinkled that with the very blood of Jesus Christ, and now he enjoins us to be holy unto the Lord, holiness unto the Lord. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the temple ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Okay, we come down to our time. And I don't know. Probably a pretty bloody scene there. I got a feeling it was bloody. I got a feeling it was sickening. I got a feeling it was horrifying. I got a feeling it was humiliating. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. How dare we violate that blood? How dare we entertain again the things the blood has washed away? They cannot build, somebody might help me, they cannot build again the things the blood has washed away or something like that. Bring again, cannot bring again. Praise the Lord. Or make my heart like stone again, or turn to night my day. May we love Jesus tonight, and may we honor his blood, the blood that sprinkled us, the blood that washed us, the blood that cleansed us. May we be enjoined of God tonight to live holy lives, pure lives, chaste lives, not only our outward and not only our hearts, but our minds as well. A pure mind. The battleground. The place where a lot of it takes place. We see and it registers on our mind. We hear and it registers in our mind. We feel and it registers in our mind. And the thought process, unless it is given to the Lord, is unholy, folks, because it's selfish. The thought process of man is on himself. And it's not on God. We must give our mind. We must honor the blood and the cross of Christ and give our minds over to him also. And almost 11th, 23rd verse. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things, the pattern was purified by the blood of goats and bulls. That was the pattern. And it was holy, and they were responsible to that. And God enjoined it upon them and to them. But the heavenly, the things Christ came, things, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What did it take? In his sight, nothing's holy. Nothing's pure in the human, in the realms of the flesh. For what God could not, what man, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the form of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The righteousness of the law, the very intent and the very purpose and the very design of God is to be fulfilled in us tonight. And if you're not, you're living below the cross. If holiness unto the Lord is not your standard, you're living below the impact of the cross, the magnitude of the cross. If you're living in a life whereby you cannot justly or rightly say, even so come, Lord Jesus, by your grace, even so come tonight, you're living below the cross. If there's fear in your life and doubt in your life, if there's overcoming sorrow in your life, saints, there's victory over that in the cross. The impact of the cross, the very blood of the cross, it will cleanse, keep, purify, and strengthen. He is tonight the God of all comfort. He is the God who comforts and heals and delivers and saves to the utmost. The righteousness of the law can be fulfilled in you tonight if we will walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But I want to warn you, saints, the flesh is calling. God help us tonight in this meeting and the meetings following and the meetings before to be stirred up. And that the flesh become exactly what it is, sin. That the sin might become exceedingly sinful. Think he gave the law or something? That the sin might become exceedingly sinful. A lady I know, you may have heard me say this before, a lady I read about rather, she had an up and down battle with her weight. She was 78 pounds overweight. She was up and down, losing gain, gain and lose. Sounds like me sometimes. Losing gain, losing gain, losing gain. One day she decided she had to get the victory over this thing. She went down to the butcher shop and bought her 78 pounds of fat. And she brought it home and put it in her kitchen. And she said, that's what's my problem. 78 pounds of fat. And you know that lady, unless she's gained it back since then, that lady, that was her little promotion she had for being able to take off pounds sensibly. Little book Allen used to get when she was on a diet. The lady went and bought 78 pounds of fat and kept it there, I guess, until it started getting rancid to get rid of it. She had to get rid of it eventually. But she saw what it was and how ugly it was and how unbecoming it was, and she lost her weight. That sin might become exceedingly sinful. God help us that sin become exceedingly sinful and that we touch not the unclean thing, that we be separate, that we be undefiled, and that we be holy in words and thoughts and deeds in our very heart, that it be holiness unto the Lord. Let me read on for a moment. But the heavenly things with a better sacrifice than these. Thank the Lord that he gave us something better than what this old world has to give us. For the Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, not into a literal tabernacle. Quite frankly, I'm glad because it doesn't exist anymore. Which are the figures of the true. They are the blueprints of the true thing God wanted to instill in us. But unto heaven itself, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Oh, he said, I do always those things that please my Father. Oh, his Father gladly received him back into glory. And now he's ascended up at the very right hand of God to make intercession for you and me. Saints, we are without excuse if we entertain this world. We are without excuse if we entertain sin. We are without excuse if we build again the things we once destroyed. If we start circumventing the very convictions God has given us in the past, we are without excuse for entertaining that. We are without excuse for circumventing that. We are without excuse letting down. We are without excuse for building again anything that God has destroyed in the camp of the saints. Lord, help us. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Well, folks, I don't know what all that means to you, and I don't know what all it means, period. But I know he's there, and I'm here, and God's there, and they're together, and I'm here, and I need what they got, and I can't get to God without him, so I need to live real close to Jesus because I need him every day. I know sin's there in my life, all around me, I should say. Sin is there to come into my life, and I'm just weak. I'm just a little nothing, and without him, I'll perish. And I know that the impact of the cross is the only thing that separates you and me from this old world. The only thing is the blood of the Lamb. And if I don't live close to Him, I can't get close to the one that He's next to. There's no other access unto the Father but by this one who hung on the tree. There is no other sacrifice. There is no other way whereby I can come into the presence of the Holy God. But He's there. Praise the Lord to appear in the presence of God for us. To that old rugged cross, I'll ever be true. I don't want to glorify the cross in the point of worship, but God help us to recognize what happened that day. Salvation came down from God. Deliverance from sin came that day. Let me move on. We're getting out of time. Lord, help us, please. Listen to what He said. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world He hath appeared, listen to this now, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The impact of the cross, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest that He might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, saints, help us. Lord, help the saints and me tonight. That sin be put away. And the things, not only sin, but the things that introduce sin. Where I go is important, isn't it? What I read is important. What I allow myself to think is important. The things that I let my children watch, listen to, or go to, it's important. Why? Because those are introductions. If there was a wolf at the door gnawing and hadn't eaten in about a week or two, big long fangs and big red eyes, and he came up to the door growling, you wouldn't take your little child out there and say, here, darling, this is a wolf. Now, that's oversimplified, I know. But that's what we do when we let this old world encroach in our house, in our lives, when we introduce this old entertainment world and this old sports world and the various things that God has told us to destroy. When we bring our children to them and say, yes, look at that, be a part of that, entertain that. Oh, it may be some things in there you can glean out of that. We're saying, here is a ravening wolf. And he's hungry. Like I say, that may be oversimplifying it. But we want to understand this tonight, that the impact of the cross is holiness unto the Lord. We're too casual sometimes with our children. And I had children, I have children, they're grown now, and I can say this to myself. We can be too casual with them. And we can let them do things that we wouldn't do. We can allow them to associate with some things that we wouldn't, we know better, but because of our sympathetic nature, because of our feelings for them, because we want our children to belong. Yes, we do. We don't want our children to be sore thumbs in the crowd. And because of that, saints, we must live close, or we will introduce them to the wolf and not even realize what we're doing. God help us. Our children are precious. And I don't want one of them to be embarrassed. But I want them to go to heaven. God help us. But to appear in the, and put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Let's go over back to the second chapter of Hebrews, and I'm going to sit down after this. Kept you long enough. 14th chapter, verse of the second chapter. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil exists. The devil is real. But by His sacrifice, the power has been put to death. I hope it's so in your life tonight, that the power of the very evil one has been slain in your life. God help it to be so in every one of us, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not upon Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The impact of the cross to me also avails me of someone that hears my prayers, that sees my life, that's touched with my infirmities and with my feelings, and he knows what it is to be tempted, and he is able and he knows exactly how to deliver the godly out of temptation, that he knows how to apply the grace, the love, and the power of the crucifixion and the blood of Christ to enable me to stand in the face of temptation, to be able to hold up my spiritual head and not to hang down my knees and my heart and my mind in obedience to sin in any form. He is able, saints, to succor you or to help you or to strengthen you. Tonight, if you're weak, there's a cross that testifies you can be strong. If you're being tempted tonight, there is a cross that tells me and you we can be delivered from the temptation. If you have been caught in the bondage of sin tonight, and there's sin in your heart and sin in your life, oh, the cross tells me you can be delivered and set free and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there was an earthquake, and the heavens trembled, and the earth trembled, and oh, there was darkness over that. And there was a man who stood there, and he said, truly this must be the Son of God. Only Christ, only Jesus tonight. Oh, I want to ask you tonight, are you living to the magnitude of the cross? Or have you let it slip? Have you allowed it to slip? Has familiarity let it slip? Has looseness let it slip? Has just the pleasures of life caused you to loosen your grip? Oh, saints, we can't make it. We can't make it without the impact of the cross fully utilized in our life. Have you begun to build again those things you once destroyed? Think about it. Is modesty not the virtue it used to be? Is the entertainment world not as bad as it used to be? Is the things of this world and the philosophies of this world, do they have a little ring of trueness in your heart? Have you begun to build again the things that God once destroyed in your life? Do the concepts and the convictions you once held, have they lost some of their glow? Have they lost some of their importance? Are you tonight making room for the flesh? Are you making excuses for the way you live? Are you making excuses for the way you live and the way you think? Are you making excuses for the attitudes you hold? Are you making excuses for the way you talk back to people? Are you making excuses? Are you living below what the cross came to deliver you and me from? There's a soul here tonight in trouble. Whosoever needs a friend, I want to invite you to him. The cross, the symbol of the cross is still there. The power of the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. You can rebuild holiness in your life. You can be set free. Backsliding can be healed. The very things that cause you to go down, you can have power over it. Those besetting sins that are in your life, you can be delivered and they can be taken out of your heart. Oh, tonight, the cross and the blood hadn't lost a bit of its power. It's still true. Still heals. He still saves. He still delivers. And folks, he's still coming back for a pure people. You can say what you want to. You can defend your position all you want to. But he's still coming back for a holy people. He's still coming back for a people zealous of good works. He's still coming back for the virgin and undefiled. He's still coming back for that one that's got their lamps trimmed and burning. He's still coming back for that one that's walking with him and praying to him and worshiping him. He's still coming back for the undefiled. He's not coming back for the polluted. He's not coming back for the things of this world. He's coming back to judge those things. He's still coming back for a virgin. I want to ask you tonight, are you a virgin? Are you untouched by this old world? Have you been made fresh and pure and chaste in the blood of the Lamb? If you're not chaste tonight, you can be. Praise God, you can be. He said, but such were some of you, but you are washed. You are washed. Does anybody here tonight need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? You pray for me.